This week I wanted to talk about motion sensors. I know we've touched on it a little bit in some of the other discussions, but I want to spend tonight talking about it and then touching on metal detectors, but it's really pretty minor. And then we'll see what else we can get to. Basically, other situations similar to motion sensors, like the doors and the some rooms, the motion sensors work both on the way in as well as on the way out. The lights turn on when you come in, and they go off when you leave. So if you accidentally walk into a room like that on Shabbos, you're allowed to leave. So hopefully we'll get to that at the end. So the first and probably most common situation of the sort is when you're walking, let's say you're walking home from shul Friday night, and you're on your way home, and minding your own business, you're walking down the block, and boom, all of a sudden, somebody's light go on their front, their garage, because you must have walked into their, however exactly it works, whether it bounces off of you, or whether there's some type of infrared line that you don't see that you've broken, and boom, the light goes on. So in that situation, this is your, say it's your first Shabbos, walking in that direction, or your first Shabbos in a new house. So you come in that direction, so quite obviously there's nothing you can do about it because it was your first Shabbos. It was your first time. You didn't know. So that the Gemara discusses. The Gemara discusses that in Shabbos on Daf Ayin Beis and Beis. The Gemara discusses a case where you, let's say you're in the field and you want to pick up a piece of grass and you think that the piece of grass that you're about to pick up is not connected to the ground. And you try to pick it up, and whoops, you pick it up, and you hear rip, it rips out of the ground. So that's a problem, because you're not allowed to rip things out of the ground. It's called tolesh. You're not allowed to rip things off. You can't pick apples off of trees. You can't detach fruit from trees, or vegetables from the ground, or grass from the ground, because that's the malacha of tolesh, of uprooting, cutting something off on Shabbos. So, but here, but you thought that this piece of grass, or this, let's say, stalk of wheat, was already detached from the ground, just sitting there on the ground, and you try to pick it up thinking that it's mutter, and you end up violating the halacha because you picked up something which is really connected. So the Gemara says pater, which means that you have not violated, certainly not a Torah prohibition, right? When the Gemara wants to tell you that you violate a Torah prohibition, the Gemara says chayev, which means you're obligated, which means that you violated a Torah prohibition. When the Gemara wants to tell you that you violated a Nisar Dirabanan, it usually says pater, which means that you're pater from a Torah prohibition, but you violated an Nisar Dirabanan. Yeah. Usually. Sometimes pater means completely mutter, and usually it means Dirabanan. And mutter means you haven't done anything. So when it comes to misasek, which is what this is called, misasek, that you think you're doing one thing and really you end up doing something else, so that the Gemara says pater, which we'll get to, which seems to imply that you have violated an Isser Dirabana, a rabbinic prohibition on Shabbos just by walking by completely unintentionally turning on this light. Tosos, on the page there, Tosos quotes another case and says this case is also similar, that it's considered misasik, that I want to pluck this piece of grass. I want to pluck piece of grass A. I know it's connected to the ground, but I want to rip it out of the ground. And in the end, I don't rip out piece of grass A, I rip out piece of grass B. But I wanted to rip out piece of grass A. I didn't want piece of grass B, which is also connected to the ground. So I wanted to do an Isser, and I did an Isser, but I didn't do it on the one that I wanted, right? Two apples on a tree. I want to pick the red apple, if there was an apple tree that had a red apple and a green apple on the same tree. I want to pick the red apple. And in the end, put my hand up, I reach down, and whoops, I missed the red one, I took the green one. So in that case, that's also misasik, right? Meaning?
What's the difference? If it's not allowed, it's not allowed. Red or green, right?
Right. Right. So both, you can't rip any of these apples off. So why is it better that I missed the one that I intended to get? I wanted the red one. I ended up getting the green one. Why is that? Why should that matter?
You thought you went to do one of the areas, the other one here.
Right. So on Shabbos there is a requirement of
machshava.
Machshava. Melechus machshavas. we learn a lot of the halachas of Shabbos from the Mishkan. Right, there's a connection. We've mentioned this a few times. There's a connection between the halachas of Shabbos and the Mishkan. By the Mishkan, it says, the pasuk says, "La'asos bechol meleches machshavas," or machshavas.
Okay.
Right, the pasuk says that you should do all of the meleches machshavas, which means intentional work.
But you intended to.
I intended to do something not allowed, but I didn't do that. I did something else that wasn't allowed.
Okay.
Right? I didn't do what I wanted. I didn't fulfill my desires. I wanted to rip off the red apple. I ended up ripping off the green apple. So that's also not doing what I intended. Right? It might even be better. By better, I mean more mutter. Because even though I intended to do prohibition A, and I ended up doing prohibition B, might be more mutter than I intended to pick up this blade of grass with which I think, or this apple which I think is already detached from the tree, and I ended up taking this apple which I wanted to take, but it was attached to the tree. That might be worse because I did what I wanted. Right? I still got the apple I wanted. So I still got my red apple. Right? It happens to be. I thought it was detached. I had good intentions. But I did something which was wrong because it was attached and I ended up pulling it off. It's more my machshava. It's more of a melechus. It's closer to a melechus machshava. It's closer to doing what I wanted to do than picking the wrong one. Right? And by picking the wrong one, I mean that I actually intended. It wasn't just, you know, I hope I get a green one, or I hope I get a red one, and I look down. It's, I think I'm going to get this one, and I put my hand into the bush and pull out, and it's the wrong one. Right? So that would be a completely... Now, the question is, what's the halacha in these type of situations? So, in different sfarim, they write a different psak halacha. In some sfarim, they write that it's asr midrabanan, which means that you violate an isr midrabanan. And in others, they write that it's completely mutter. Right? That misasik might be completely mutter. Why would that be the case? Right? Or what would be the difference? Let's say, nowadays, we have no korbanos, nothing. So what's the difference if it's asr or if it's not asr at all? Right? If this act, let's say, walking down this block, I'm walking home and I've never been down this block before, and I don't know that the light's going to turn on. Right? So, but you know. Right? You see me making a left turn down this block, and you know that if I keep walking, there's that neighbor who has that light that's going to go on when I walk by that house. So should you tell me to stop me?
Get the boy.
Well, if you're worrying about avoiding it, that means you know it's going to happen, and that it's not misasik. If I know that that light's going
to
go on, that's not misasik. That we're going
to
talk about.
So
no, hold on. Hold on.
Now,
well, hold on. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. That's when you know it's going to happen. I'm talking about you don't know it's going to happen. Let's say you don't know it's going to happen. I don't know. I'm walking home for the first time. I don't know that this neighbor has one of these lights. But you do know. So you're going straight. And I'm making a left, and you say, uh-oh, the rabbi's walking down that block. He's going to turn on that light. Should you tell me? Do you have to tell me, or do you not have to tell me? What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because if you're seeing someone who's about to do something,
you're wrong, supposed to tell them,
aren't
you?
You're supposed to tell them, right.
Yeah.
So why would I think maybe you don't have to tell me?
Because if you're
they don't know it's better.
Because you don't know about it.
The rabbi's going to do it anyways.
You do it and you don't know about it, then it's
no.
not a problem.
Right,
because maybe it's mutter. No, but for me, if I don't know about it, so then if I do it, maybe it's completely mutter. If it's completely mutter, then you don't have to stop me.
Or we let you do it, light turns on, then I can go
the same way. You walk a few steps behind me, whispering and laughing.
So the
difference between whether I would be violating an Isser Dirabanan or whether it would be considered completely mutter is whether if somebody else should stop me. Right, another situation, let's say you know that the refrigerator light is on, but somebody else comes into your house and they don't know that your refrigerator light is on. So, and you see them go to the refrigerator to take out a drink. Do you have to stop them from opening the refrigerator? They would be doing it as a misasik. They have no idea.
Yes, yes.
But then once they open it, they're going to say, why didn't you tell me?
Maybe.
So
if misasik is an iser derabanan, meaning if you are violating something, right? It's not meleches machsheves. I'm not doing what I wanted to do, but it is something, right? Here I actually am doing. I want to open the refrigerator, and I end up turning on the light, which is like, you know, I want to pick the red one. I end up picking the green one. So it's not meleches machsheves. So maybe it's mutter. If it's mutter, you don't have to tell me. If it is usher, then you should stop me. Why would it be mutter? Why would it be mutter to do such a thing? So there's a very interesting approach that I wanted to share with you from the Nesivos. The Nesivos wrote his svarim on his number of svarim. The one he's most well known for is called the Nesivos, the name of one of his svarim. It's written on Choshen Mishpat, written on monetary laws of the Shulchan Aruch. So it's one of the commentaries that are, it's a later commentary, but it's commonly learned in yeshivas when learning the monetary laws. So the Nesivos has a very interesting approach to all rabbinic prohibitions in the Torah. The Nesivos writes that when it comes to a rabbinic prohibition in the Torah, the reason why it's usher, the reason why you can't do it, is because by violating a rabbinic prohibition, you are rebelling against Hashem. Right? It's not an objectively bad action. It's not an objectively negative action. Like a Torah prohibition is objectively bad. Objectively negative. If you do it with intention, it's bad. If you do it without intention, it's still bad. Because the act which is prohibited in the Torah, if the Torah says this is a prohibited act, it is something which is negative. It must be something which we stay away from. And therefore, regardless of whether I have intentions to do it or not, it's something that we don't do. When it comes to a rabbinic prohibition, however, a rabbinic prohibition is a prohibition only because to violate it would be a sign of merit, merida, b'Hashem, that it's a sign of rebellion against Hashem. So therefore, the Nesivos writes, that if you violate it knowingly, intentionally, then of course you're rebelling. It's a rebellion. It's a merit. You're rebelling against God. But is there such a thing as rebellion by accident? Can you rebel against somebody unintentionally? Not really. Because if you do an act that looks like a rebellion, but it's done unintentionally, so you're not rebelling. Rebellion means I am rebelling against you. But if you do it by accident, if you do it b'shogeg, the Nesivos writes, then it's not an act of rebellion. And therefore the Nesivos writes, I believe, that if you do violate a rabbinic prohibition unintentionally, you don't have to do tshuva for it. Because there's nothing to tshuva about. You didn't do it. It was an accident.
You violated the absent mind, you know that it's there.
That's also by accident. That's also that's shogeg. It's a little bit different.
Because you're always alive in the later shul, and I always forget.
That's shogeg. That's different than misasik.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I grew up anyway, knowing that my parents always said, like, if even on Shabbat, let's say, you go into a bathroom and the light is off, and you forget, because it's like you forgot to tape it up or whatever it is, you put the light on. Oops, you forgot.
Right.
Okay, you didn't intentionally need to do it. Okay, you forgot. Don't
right.
Shut it off now.
Right.
But, you know.
Right.
You didn't do it on purpose.
Right. Well, so it might depend. It's true, certainly. The question is, do you have to do tshuva for that accident that you did?
Okay.
Right? So it could be, according to this approach, it would depend on whether what you did by accident was a Torah prohibition or whether it was a rabbinic prohibition.
Right.
See, in the Torah, on Shabbos, if a person, let's say, a person forgets that something is usher on Shabbos, right, or they forget it's Shabbos, right? That type of situation. A person forgets it's Shabbos. So let's say turning on the light, it would be an incandescent bulb, and it would be a violation of a Torah prohibition on Shabbos, and Mirtz Hashem, when we have a Beit HaMikdash, this will be applicable. And a person comes into their bathroom and they forget it's Shabbos. They're not thinking. They forget that it's Shabbos. The Gemara talks about this, and you always wonder yourself, how can a person forget that it's Shabbos? This is what it means when you forget it's Shabbos.
Morning,
it means, it doesn't mean they forget that they didn't make Kiddush today. They make Kiddush and they walk into the other room and it slips their mind that today is Shabbos, and they by rote slip on a switch. It's possible to forget, right? It's not you forget about Shabbos completely. It means in this moment you forgot that it was Shabbos. So you walk into the bathroom and you forget that it's Shabbos, you flip on the switch. So if it's a Torah prohibition, you would have to bring a korban chatas. For violating Shabbos, b'shogeg means by accident, which means either one of two things. You forgot that it was Shabbos, or you forgot that this was usher on Shabbos. Let's say you forgot that it was prohibited to, turn on a light on Shabbos. Or do some type of borer selecting on Shabbos. I forgot. Oh, I did it. And you say, oh, don't do that. Oh, I forgot. I forgot I can't do that on Shabbos, right? It's a normal way to eat, so I forgot that I can't do it on Shabbos. So that's a shogeg. It's shogeg. Of course, for that, if it's a Torah prohibition and you have to bring a korban for it, that means that you do have to do tshuva for it. You do have to repent for it, and you do have to try to not do it. I mean, everything you have to try not to do if it's wrong. But yes. But it's certainly a lower level. It's, what are you going to do? I made a mistake, right? So next week I'll try to remember better. Of course, that's the approach to take and continue on. It's not like Shabbos is over. I messed up once and forget it.
So Mashiach comes,
I'll turn it off.
Mashiach comes,
do
we have to do like one, like a million chatas, or you just have one to be
at all? Why would you assume they have to bring so many chatas? Why do you assume they have to violate that somebody was... Anyway, so that's by a Torah prohibition. If it was a fluorescent light bulb, and I accidentally walk into the bathroom, I slip on the fluorescent light bulb, do I even have to mention it in Al Chait on Yom Kippur? Right? Do I even have to do tshuva for it? So that would depend. According to some, yes, because Nisasek is usher. But according to the Nesivos, according to this approach, when it comes to any Isser Derabanan, you don't have to do tshuva for it because there's no such thing as, in his words, merit b'shogeg. There's no such thing as by accident rebelling. You can't rebel by accident. You either rebel on purpose or you don't. So that's why. Regardless, in that situation where you walk down the block, back to our topic at hand, if you walk down the block and you accidentally turn on that light because you've never been here before, so then this, there's nothing to do about it. You can't go. You can't retrace your steps. If you do, you probably turn on again. So better not to. So fine. That's your first Shabbos in here. So let's have it your second Shabbos, where you know your third, or your fourth, or your fifth, and you know where there are lights or not. So the obvious first reaction would be, don't do it. Right? The first reaction would be, don't do it. Because somehow I'm turning on the light. So that's the question. So now let's spend some time trying to dissect it, halachically dissecting what exactly is going on, to at least come up with some room to be lenient, right? Certainly, if you know there are two ways home, which are equidistant to one another, and you like the scenic route better, but the other one doesn't have the light that goes on. Certainly, it's better to take the other route. And if it's a drop longer, also probably better, because as we'll see, it's not so simple, right? There's a lot that has to be assumed and added up in order to say that it's mutter. In the b'di'evit situation, there are rabbis who say that you can b'di'evit in a situation where there's no way around town without tripping one of these sensors, that there are people who say that it is allowed in a b'di'evit situation.
I have some streetlights now that are on sensors also.
Actual
street poles. I've seen them, like you walk in.
Here?
I don't know if it's here, but I've seen walking by and it's turned on.
I always assume that was random. It's not random like that? Some of them seem like they're flickering.
Some of them they turn off for a while so they don't overheat.
Right.
And eventually they'll turn back on.
Right. Right.
Some of them are sensors. So
some of them are sensors, right? Okay, yeah, so it's a similar situation. So what are you supposed to do? If you can't get around it, so we're going to tell you to stay home all Shabbos. At least Friday.
Don't go to school.
No Shalom Zachar. Shalom Zachar. Like, you're not going to Shalom Zachar. Shalom Zachar a week here. Hashem. Okay, so what can we say about it? What can we do about it? So, obviously, part of the equation will be, what prohibition are you violating by turning on this light? Right, which is why in order to talk about this, you have to have a lot of the shiurim that we've had beforehand. What prohibition are you violating when that light goes on?
Kindling.
So, right, so it depends. It depends on
what
kind of light it is. So I think most of them are halogen.
They're
not
so what is the halogen?
Fluorescent. Halogen, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, halogen I think are pretty similar to incandescent bulbs.
Yeah.
They're very hot, and they have pieces of metal that are glowing. So if they're similar to incandescent bulbs, so they would be and this is their right to turn on. I mean, they would be a Torah prohibition to turn on because they have a real fire. Right. Let's assume that we're talking about something which is an issur d'oraisa to turn on, because a lot of them are. If it's a fluorescent bulb, so certainly there's more room to be lenient because fluorescent
usually
is
not.
Usually not, right?
Because I think it spends more energy to turn it off and on a fluorescent than it does a halogen.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
I'm surprised.
Not supposed to turn off and on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised because they're so worried about being
well,
green.
Because the thing is, these type of lights, they're not on for a long time. Usually they're just on because they're a sensor when someone's there, and then as soon as you walk away, it turns right off.
Uh-huh. So there's more energy to turn on a fluorescent bulb and turn it off.
If you're turning it off quickly, off and on.
Yeah,
but
often the lights in the shul, it takes a while for them to heat up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Fine. So let's look at this action first. So this action, obviously, what I'm doing is I'm walking, right? I don't really intend on turning on this light. I know it's going to go on, right? But I don't intend for it to go on. I'm walking. I want to walk home. So I'm walking, and then there's a separate something else that will occur, which will certainly occur. So it's a psikresha, right? So that's a psikresha. So we know that a psikresha is usur. A psikresha maintains the, even though, right, it was the case of the pulling the, or opening the refrigerator door with the light on. I know that it's on, but I don't want to turn on the refrigerator light, or I'm not intending to turn on the refrigerator light. I intend to open the door. So I intend to open the door, and the refrigerator light will certainly go on. So that's usur because that's a psikresha, and it's good for me. So now the question is whether this is something that I want, right? Right. When we had the shir, when we learned about all the psikresha, so part of the discussion was, is it a psikresha de nichale or is it a psikresha de lo nichale? Meaning, is it a psikresha that I want the outcome, or is it a psikresha that I don't want the outcome, or I don't care for the outcome, at least I'm parve about the outcome? So there are those who want to claim that in this type of situation, it's a psikresha de lo nichale, because I don't want that light to go on. Right? Again, it's Shabbos. I don't want that light to go on. Or maybe, you know, that's a little bit hard to swallow because you can say the same thing about the refrigerator light, and we disputed that when we talked about the refrigerator light because we said that it doesn't go by halachically do I want this to go on or not. You'll always say, I don't want the halacha. I don't want to violate halacha. So everything will be a psikresha de lo nichale. So that's obviously, that can't be. So, but maybe it's a lo nichale because I don't care for it. Right? That's already... you could work with. Why wouldn't I care for this?
Because you don't need the light.
Right, so maybe I don't need the light. Yeah.
But sometimes you do.
But sometimes you do, right. So that's the problem with this rationalization, is sometimes you do. And sometimes you want the light. And sometimes it's very dark on the street, and it helps you. It helps to see, to walk around and to see. So it might depend. Part of it might depend on how light it is in the area, right? If it's in, let's say New York City. New York City is plenty light, right? But there are still some apartment buildings, and if you walk by, there'll be a light that goes on. That's more for a security reason, right? That they want it to be very bright and very out in the open, as opposed to. But I don't need it. I can see plenty without it. Plenty of light without it. So maybe there would be room to talk about it. Maybe it's a psikresha de lo nichale. But, you know, here, it is dark. Right? Walking home at night from shul on Friday night, it is pretty dark. walking down the block. Even with some street lights, it is pretty dark. In suburbs, it gets pretty dark at night, even with street lights. So it probably is helpful. Now, the other problem with calling it a psikresha de l'nichale is that we passing that a psikresha de l'nichale is still usher. Right? If you remember, we had this, there was a machlokes between the Aruch, who was one of the Valei Tosos, and Tosos himself, whether psikresha de l'nichale is mutter or usher, or usher midarabanan, or usher midaraisa. We passing like Tosos, that a psikresha de l'nichale is still usher. Right, the Aruch says Psikresha de l'nichale is mutter, and Tosa says Psikresha de l'nichale is aser midrabanan. Right, if it's lo nechale, so at least it's not derais or only derabanan. The Aruch says it's mutter, so that's why this explanation, it's something, right? If it's there are a few assumptions here. First, you have to assume it's I don't want it. Or I don't care for it. It's not helping me. That's an assumption because the Sef said sometimes you do. And then the second assumption is that you have to assume that if the creation of the lo nechale is mutter, which we don't assume. So it would help to at least knock it down to an iser derabanan or rabbinic prohibition if you don't want it, but you do want it sometimes, right? Okay. So that's one approach. Another approach is that it is grumma. Grumma means that you're indirectly causing something to happen. So we've spoken about this a few times, and we'll probably speak about it next week, because I think next week we'll talk about some of the grumma devices, like the grumma wheelchair and the grumma phone and some of those different halachic devices, and to take a closer look at them. So grumma Grumma means I'm indirectly causing it. And we had a whole shiur we discussed what does it mean to indirectly cause something, whether it means a delay, that there's a time delay in between when I do something and the action occurs, which doesn't work here, because here I don't think there's a delay, because who knows when you break that thing. Yeah. Right. But you could make the case that this is indirect, right? That this is indirect. I'm not flipping the switch. I'm walking by I'm walking by in the middle of the street because I know that he's got the light, and I'm hoping to be out of his sensor. So it's certainly indirect, but it's indirect, but still indirect. Grumma is still usher, also usher midrabanan. We assume grumma is usher midrabanan also. Now, not everybody assumes that it's even grumma.
Not really indirect, but I'm thinking about this.
Why is it not indirect?
Those kind of lights don't have a switch. So it's as if it's flicking a switch. If you
were
walking by, it wouldn't go on.
Very good, exactly.
If you're walking by, you are making it very
exactly.
Possible. Sometimes they are still connected to a switch, and you can set it for the sensor mode, or you can set it for a switch.
Okay, but if it's on sensor,
right.
It's
so,
like it's flicking a switch.
Yes. So that's the question. When you say this indirect, no, you're right, very good. That's one of the points of debate. If you want to, again, we're trying to at least make this into an Isser Derabbanan. Right, we're trying to at least knock it down. So first you said maybe it's a psikresha de lo nichale. It's a certain indirect. It's a certain consequence that will occur that I'm not intending, but it will for sure occur. And maybe I don't want it, so that would make it derabanan. Maybe I do want it, so that would be a problem. Here we're saying maybe it's indirect. Why is it indirect? Because maybe this is not the normal way to turn on a light. Right? Normally, if you want to turn a light on, you go over to the wall, you flip the switch, and the light goes on. It's not normal to turn the light on by walking by, breaking some type of sensor, and turning on a light 20 feet away. Right? The problem is that with this type of light,
that is the way
you turn it on. So that is this is the normal way to do it. This is the normal way, right? This is darko bekach. Like the Gemara says when we spoke about grumma, the Gemara discusses one of the malachas of Shabbos, one of the 39 malachas of Shabbos is zoreh. Zorah means to winnow, where you take the wheat and the chaff and you throw it up in the wind, and the wind blows away the chaff and leaves the wheat there to come back down on your winnower, whatever the object is called. So everybody asks the question, isn't that grumma? Right? I'm not doing it. It's indirect. The wind is blowing it away. The wind is taking it, so why can't I do it on Shabbos?
That's
it's only grumma.
That's the way of doing it, though.
Because that's the way to do it. That's darko bekach. The normal way to winnow, to throw something, to do zoreh, is by throwing it up in the wind. And the wind comes and blows it away. So you can't tell me that that's grumma, that's an indirect way of doing this for this act, because that is the normal way to do it. And not only is it the normal way to do it, but it's what I intended to do. Right? It's the normal way to do it, and my intentions are to throw it up in the wind, let the wind blow away the psoles, what I don't want, and I'll remain with, and I will be left with what I do want.
Isn't that the malacha?
That is the malacha. It's naseh machshavto. It's doing what you what you intended to do. So the same could be said about these motion sensor lights.
Yeah,
it's the normal way to turn on. It's not the normal way to turn on a light, but it's the normal way to turn on this light. Right, on Shabbos, there's no other way to turn on this, or at night, right? Let's say it's a non-Jew, so they don't set it to Shabbos mode as opposed to weekday mode. But maybe they have at night; they don't have it on the switch. They have it on the beam. So
it's not the same though.
Why is it not the same?
Because that case, you want the week to be windowed, and you want the thing here. Here, you don't want the light to be turned on.
Well, you don't. Well, maybe you do, right? Because maybe it's dark. Let's say
you don't.
So if you don't, so you're right. But that wouldn't be grumma. Grumma means I'm doing it indirectly. Not I don't want it to happen. That's talking about psik resha. Psik resha, when we talk about psik resha, right? Psik resha is a super davar sheino miskaven. Davar sheino miskaven is I'm pushing the stroller across the grass. I don't expect it to make any type of indentation. I don't expect it to plow my hard ground. It's not a heavy stroller. And it doesn't, right? That and let's say it does, that would be a davar she'eino miskaven. It's something that I don't intend to do, but it happened, right? There, it's all about kavana. The act I intend to do, the kavana was not there. Psik resha. Also, what's lacking in psik resha is the intentions. It's not the action. We have to come from this at different angles. When it comes to seeing whether it's a davar she'eino miskaven or a psik resha with nichale, not nichale, that you have to look at intentions. Do I intend to do this action? What am I intending to do? So I'm intending to walk home. I'm not intending to turn that on. Right? So that's why it's a psik resha, because it's something that I don't intend to do, but it will for sure happen. Right? But that's all about mindset. That's all about intention. The action I want to do. I want to walk home. I want to go through here. So that's psik resha. So when we try to say that it's allowed based on my intentions, we have to work in the psik resha field. When we try to look at the action and say that maybe, don't forget about my intentions, but the action maybe is an indirect action, that's the world of grumma. Right? That's the world of grumma. Let's look at the action. We looked at the intentions. The intentions, questionable. But the action, what type of action? Is that a direct action or is that an indirect action? So here, if you want to say it's an indirect action, it's because it's not the normal way to turn on the light. So I'm indirectly turning on the light. But you could make the case that, no, this action is the normal way to turn on the light in this type of situation. The normal way to turn on this light on this person's garage is by walking past it at night. So that's the normal way to do it. So it doesn't matter what my intentions would be when it comes to the world of grumma. If we're trying to invoke the idea of grumma to try to knock this down from being a Torah prohibition to a rabbinic prohibition, which would then give us a little bit more leeway, so then you can only use grumma if I can claim that the action is indirect action. If this is a direct action because it's the normal way to do this, like Zoret, like winnowing, then you can't claim that it's grumma, it's a maisa. It's an action. A maisa biadayim, it's an action that I do with my hands. So that's the second way. The third way, the third explanation is, it's a stronger, we can see the direct connection between the two, but the problem is most people don't quote this reason alone to allow something. Usually it's, if you have this and something else, if it's grumma also, or it's a secretion of Nichole also, and you have the following, then maybe there's, it's what to add up. So here, there is a Mishnah. Mishnah in Shabbos says that if a person sits in the doorway of a house, and there's an animal inside the house, and by you sitting in the doorway, you block the doorway. And by blocking the doorway, you are not allowing this animal to get out of the house, you are violating trapping, right, which is a Torah prohibition. Let's say you're sitting in the doorway, and then I come and sit next to you in the doorway, or right in front of you in the doorway, or right behind you in the doorway, and I'm also blocking the doorway. But the doorway was blocked already when you were sitting there. So I sat down. I did nothing wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. You trapped it, not me. Now you get up, and you leave me sitting in the doorway. So did I violate anything? So no,
by
right.
Not moving,
no, because I didn't do anything.
Right, but by not moving, you're now violating.
But it's not an action. So I didn't do. I didn't trap it. It was trapped already. Mm. I didn't do anything. I was sitting here. I came. I sat when you did something wrong. It wasn't my fault. I now am sitting in the, I happen to be sitting in the doorway because you got up, but I didn't do anything wrong. So I'm not violating the prohibition of trapping. The Mishnah says that this is similar to closing the door of your house and finding that there's an animal inside. What does that mean? So the Rashba, who's one of the classical Rishonim on the Gemara, the Rashba explains that what that means is there's a Yerushalmi. He quotes to Yerushalmi, and it's pretty similar to this Mishnah. The Yerushalmi writes that if a deer walks into your house, Shabbos morning, you're getting ready to go to shul, and a deer jumps into your house. It happens, right. So a deer walks into your house, or any other animal that it's normal to trap, right? So they use the deer, we'll use a deer. So the deer jumps into your house, and you say to yourself, I got to go to shul. I'm going to be late if I don't leave my house. I got to get to shul. The problem is, if I close the door, I open the door now to leave. If I close the door, I'll be trapping the deer. But I always close the door to my house because I don't want anybody to walk in and take all my belongings. If there's anything left when the deer gets out.
When you close the door,
the deer is
dug.
Yeah. So I put away all my china. Yeah. So the question is, can I close my door? Can I close the door to my house knowing that it will be trapping the deer? Now, I don't want to trap, or forget that, I take that back. All I want to do by closing the door, or my main reason for closing the door is to guard my house from ganavim, from bandits. I don't want them to come into my house and steal all my things. So I want to close my door to guard my house. Am I allowed to close my door? So the Yerushalmi says, yes. You can close your door. So the question is why? Why are you allowed to close your door in that situation if isn't it a psik resha? Right? Right? You can claim it's not my intention. But we said if it's not your intention, but you know for sure that it's going to happen, that's a psik resha. So you're gonna tell me you don't want the deer. Right?
You can't take the deer out of the house.
Oh, I mean, you could try to lead it out of the house if you'd like. The deer.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't that wasn't the concern of the Gemara. The Gemara didn't seem to be concerned about that. The Gemara assumed that you knew to stay away from the deer.
Okay.
Yeah, you were going to leave the deer there. That wasn't the question. And so the question is, are you allowed to close the door? So the Gemara says you can close the door. So there are two ways to understand that Gemara. Right, the Ran says, who's one of the commentaries, also one of the classic Rishonim on the Gemara. The Ran says that the reason why you can close the door, it doesn't mean you can close the door if you know that there's an animal in there, but you can close the door if you didn't realize that there was a deer in there, and then after you closed your door, you said, "Oh my goodness, look at that! Look in my window, there's a deer inside." In that situation, what the Yerushalmi means is you don't have to open the door now. Right, that's what the Ran says. When the Gemara says that you can close the door, it means you don't have to open it if you closed it without knowing. Why was I allowed to close it without knowing? That's misasik, right? That's the first thing we talked about tonight. I didn't know I was doing anything wrong. I didn't know the light was going to go on when I walked by. So how could you hold me responsible for that? Am I violating a shogeg? Maybe. But that's misasik. It's misadaraisa to trap the deer inside. But I didn't know that he was in there already, so I don't have to now open the door. That's what the Ran explains the Gemara to me. I don't have to go out of my way to open the door. When it says that you can close the door, it means you don't have to open it after you realize. But he says, if you knew that there was a deer in there, when you close the door, he said, how could you close the door? It's a psik resha. How could you close the door? You will 100% be trapping this deer in your house. How could you possibly say that you can close the door of your house if you know that there's a deer in there? So the Rashba says that you're allowed to. Why? Because your kavana is primarily to close the door. But you know that the deer is there, and the Rashi even says you want to trap the deer. But still, it's your kavana, your main kavana, is to close the door. Why does that help? So, basically, what the Rashba means is, the way the later commentators explain what the Rashba means, the Achronim explain what the Rashba means is, that if you don't do an action with your hands, right? If I'm involved in an act, then you can say that's a tzigresha. When I do a pe'ula bi'adayim, I do something with my hand. I am involved in the act, so then yes, the unintended consequences, which will for sure happen, I'm responsible for. But when I do something over here, and then something occurs on the other side of the house, I close the door. Right? I don't trap him. I don't jump on the deer. I don't catch the deer with my hands. What I'm doing is closing the door in order to guard my house. And then, nimtza, whoa, there's also a deer inside. And by closing the door of my house, by guarding my house, I'll also be trapping the deer. That's not a psikresha. That's not a psikresha that I'm responsible for. Because I'm doing something over here, and something is being done on the other side of the house. Right? If I were to jump on the deer, that would be trapping. And if that was a psikresha, then that's not a psikresha. But if you can create a case where I'm trapping with a psikresha, with my hand, so if for example, the Shulchan Aruch writes, if you're hunting with dogs on Shabbos, and you send the dog to go catch the rabbit, or whatever the dog catches, that is considered as if I'm catching it with my hands. Because I sent the dog out to go catch that animal. But let's say I'm walking with a dog, or I have a dog, and the dog goes on his own and catches an animal, right? So that's not a psikresha, or that's not something that connects back to me. If I send it, then yes, that's something that connects back to me. So here the Rashba says, if I close the door, and I have no hand in catching that deer, except for that I'm closing the door, where my main intention is not to catch the deer, but rather to close the door and guard my house, then that is not a psikresha. And therefore the Rashba says that would be allowed. That would be mutter completely. So if you apply that to our case, so there are those Rabban and Poskim who apply this Rashba to our case of the motion-sensored light. I'm walking. I'm not turning on that light with my hand. I'm just trying to walk home. Right, I don't want to turn that on, and even if I would, I'm happy that it goes on because I get benefit from the light. But still, I'm doing something over here, and all of a sudden the light goes on over there. Then there's a disconnect between me and the light, and I wouldn't call it a psikresha. Once you don't call it a psikresha, and you take my intention, I don't intend to turn on. Is it good for me that it went on? Yes, but did I intend to put it on? No. Once you disconnect this action from the consequence of that turning on, then there's more room to say that you'd be allowed to do so. That's a pretty strong source. The problem is most poskim don't quote that Rashba alone. Meaning, if that's all you have, usually they say it's still also midrabbanan. But in this type of situation, there are poskim that I know of who will tell you that in a b'dieved situation, meaning if there's no other way home, and otherwise you have to walk, you know, half hour out of the way, then in that type of situation, there are poskim who say you can rely on this Rashba, this svara, this explanation. There is one more. They say that I saw this written in the name of Rav Yashiv. So Rav Yashiv, one of the gedolei poskim of our generation, living in Mea Sharim. So Rav Yashiv writes that it's not Melechas Machsheves. They asked him about this because he can understand, he sees these things. So they asked him about this, and he said that it's mutter because it's not meleches machsheves. It's not clear what that means. And the sefer that I saw quoted in even points out, don't try to use this and apply it to other situations. Take it for what it's worth. He said it over here. Take it over here. Right? Don't push your luck. So he said, what does that mean? It's not melechas machsheves. So what it seems to mean is that there's no connection between you and the light. It's similar to that Rashba, that there's a disconnect between me over here and the light going on over there. That somehow there's a disconnection between the the action that I'm doing and the result of the light going on. And therefore, it's not Melechus Machshavas. As we mentioned, Melechus Machshavas is a fundamental component of Hilchus Shabbos. You need Melechus Machshavas to violate something on the Torah level, or even sometimes on a rabbinic level, you need Melechus Machshavas because connecting to the Mishkan says you have to do it with your intention. So if you don't have Melechus Machshavas, that would certainly bring it down to an Iser Derabanan. Excuse me. So that's what Rav Yoshev says. It's not Melechus Machshavas. I'm not connected to turning that on. So these are the basic four reasons that I found, four kulas that we can try to apply to this type of situation. And there are some rabbis who are very against it and tell you to make sure not to walk past one of these lights. And if your neighbor has it, then you should buy very big stadium lights and make sure that you're not getting any benefit from it, because at least this way you won't need it, because the stadium lights in your house, and then they'll probably be bothered enough by your stadium lights that you can say to them, well, if you do me a favor and I'll pay you an extra dollar or so a month, a few dollars to leave it on.
Those lights are more for security also.
Right, so sometimes they're for security. Right.
That's why they add it, not because of...
Yeah, but you could leave them on.
Because you're curious, you like go on, you wonder who's walking by your house.
Well, if you leave the light on all night.
If you leave the light on, you don't see if someone's coming to your door in the middle of the night.
Oh, you're saying it's security that when it goes on.
Yeah.
You know somebody's coming. I thought the security was that the light would go on, and now you can see somebody.
Let's say they want to break in, now there's a light on them.
Uh-huh. Even maybe they wouldn't come in the first place if they didn't think that the light was off. If the light was on from the first place, maybe they just wouldn't come. They wouldn't bother. Anyway, there's room to be lenient. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi for in your own situation.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm a little confused, and I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
So there's two different things, right? There's intent and there's action.
Right.
Is there something that we go by specifically, or is each thing on its own?
Right,
merit?
Two questions.
Do we go by intent, or do we go by action? Or
when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, both. Both matter.
Okay.
Both matter. Both the action, as well as your intent. Because by Shabbos, there's a special requirement of Melechus Machshavas. Of doing your Machshava. So by Shabbos, more so than any other area, intent does matter, which is why pulling the wrong apple off the tree matters on Shabbos. By other halachas, it doesn't matter as much. So I'll just mention metal detectors, because I put that into the name of the shir. So I'll just mention that. So metal detectors, if you don't make the lights go on, then it's okay. If you take all the metal out of your pocket, so you can walk through because nothing's happening. Right, however the magnetic field is there, it's there, regardless of whether you're walking through or not. And then if you don't have metal in your pocket, you're not changing anything. You're not changing any of the lights, the LED lights. Nothing changes. So as long as you don't have any metal in your pocket. So if you do by accident, so it's better not to, right? If you do have metal in your pockets and you do go through, so then it's probably a derabanan of making the lights go on and the LED lights go on.
But of course, they actually search you instead of putting metal detector on you.
Right, so that they used to have the metal detector there.
They still do, but
they
do.
Shabbos, they don't go through.
Shabbos, they don't go through.
Okay, I don't know. It could be some of them might work that there is, that they do change, the lights do change if there's somebody in there.
They have to put you back to an X-ray machine on Shabbos.
What?
They have to put you back to an X-ray machine on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a good question.
If somebody's manning it, if you're just manning it.
You're causing it to be seen on the screen. Interesting question. Think about it. And just regarding walking out of the room, if you walk in, the light goes on. So obviously, if you walk in, the light goes on, you don't know that. So don't walk in the second time. Right? The first time's okay. Second time, don't walk into that room if you know that it's going to turn the light on when you walk in. And then the question about walking out. You walk in somewhere and the light goes on, and you know that if you leave, the light's going to go off.
Sometimes
they're
like bathrooms.
In bathrooms.
Have the clap on.
What?
It's unimmediate. It could happen.
So, right. So, there. So, obviously, if it's a situation of need, like you're stuck in the bathroom, you don't want to sit in the bathroom all Shabbos, so then, yes, there's room to be makil. Because, first of all, at worst, it's a drabana.
A lot of times, if you're in the place and you usually don't move for a little bit, it's going to go off anyway.
Right. Well, so here's why. Here's why it would be okay. Because at worst, it's a drabana. Because even if turning on an incandescent bulb is deraisa, is a Torah prohibition, turning it off is only midrabanan. Because extinguishing, if you want to violate extinguishing in the Torah, you have to extinguish and want the coal. So here you don't want the coal. You don't want the off light. You just want the light off. You don't want the cold piece of metal. You just want the light off. So it would only be a derabanan. Now it's a derabanan, it's a psigresha, because I don't want to do, I want to get out. I don't want to turn the light off. So it's a psigresha, because it will definitely happen. But it's a psigresha that I don't care for. It's a lo nechale, because I don't care if the light stays on or if the light stays off. Not at my house. Nobody sets their house up like that. So I don't care. I'm not saving electricity by turning the light off. So it's a psigresha, the lo nechale, on the derabanan. And as Rachel said, it might only be grumma.
How it's automatic.
Because it might, usually there's a delay. So it's only grumma, so everything all put together, there's room to be.
How about
the
automatic
toilet? You stop moving and now it goes off, and then you move again and it goes on, now you're in.
Yeah, better just leave.
better just leave,
right. At that point, better just leave. Automatic toilets, also, I mean, you know, again, better not to have to use them, because better to find regular toilets, because don't get involved. The problem is if a person stands there and doesn't know and doesn't realize until they're ready to leave, so then you can't stand there all Shabbos.
Sometimes they go up by themselves if they don't know.
Sometimes they don't flush and sometimes they do flush.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes they don't work. But even if they do work, you know they work. Sometimes they work with a little bit of a delay. Even if they don't work with a delay, still, again, what are you doing, right? So at worst, it's an issa derabana, right? Because there's no heat there. Let's assume that closing a circuit is only midirabana, which is what most assume. So it's only midirabana. So it's only rabbinic in the first place. It's a psik resha because I don't want to stand there. I don't want to close the circuit. I just want to walk away. So it's a psik resha, but probably you want it. But once it's a psik resha on an issa derabana, so when it comes to, there's a situation of kavod habrios there.
Yeah,
that you can't stand there all Shabbos and you can't leave it all Shabbos. So there is, again, there's room to be lenient in that situation. Better not to get into the situation. If a person finds themselves in that situation, there is room to be lenient. I don't think they have to sit there or stand there all Shabbos long. Okay.